This is the Warcast Reforged, Tales from the Battleline, a podcast about Keyforge, a unique deck game from Ghost Galaxy. Your hosts are Tobin Opus and Jason Wallace.
Episode 24, Sloppy About Set Rotation.
All right, welcome. I'm Tobin Lopez.
And I'm Jason Wallace.
And we're back, and we're back with a special kind of the first, hopefully, in a beginning series of these things. We have a special episode in collaboration with Sloppy Lab Work, JT Russell and Quick Draw. They reached out on the podcast channel for the Keyforge creators on the Discord. Mm-hmm. They reached out and said, hey, anybody want to debate something?
Yeah.
And I threw up my hand. I said, sure, we'll debate something.
Why
what
not?
The hell? Why
Let's
not?
Do it.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we came up with a couple topics and we settled on set rotation. And then what happened was JT, I think it was JT that was communicating with me, and he rolled a die. I said, okay, cool. You get to support set rotation. You debate for set rotation and we'll debate against set rotation. And I actually think that if we would have chosen, we would have chosen exactly the opposite. But I'm not sure. I don't know. Anyhow, so here are the rules of the debate. Here are the kind of the structure of these things. So it's starting with us, with Sloppy Lab Work. I know for a fact that they record theirs live on Twitch. So they're on camera and they have an audience there either on Tuesday or Wednesday nights. Mm-hmm. And then they record then. And then they release the next week.
Right.
So whatever you're hearing on Wednesday is from them, or Thursday from them, was recorded the previous week.
Right.
For the most part, right?
Sure.
So other casts will be coming into this as we come up with topics to debate and so on and so forth. And so I sincerely hope that we'll hear something from Key Weekend Warriors or Weekend Key Warriors and Help from Future Self.
Archon's Corner.
Maybe Archon's Corner.
Maybe.
Although they debate enough amongst themselves.
That's true. True, true, true.
So that's how it got started. Much like a debate club, we will record more or less at the same time. So mm-hmm. They recorded. We promised not to watch. Yay, I didn't watch. I haven't listened yet because we haven't done this yet.
Right.
So you can't listen to the other side's initial arguments until you've recorded yours. So you all, even though they recorded theirs Wednesday, you'll be hearing ours earlier because I'm going to release this probably Super Bowl Sunday.
Because, yeah, we're recording on Saturday.
Yep, we're recording tomorrow. On Saturday night for the first time in a long, long time. So rules, can't listen to the first one until you've recorded your one. And then we will come back in a couple of weeks with a rebuttal.
Right.
And so I will include a link to the Sloppy Lab Work feed site in our show notes, and hopefully they'll do the same, and we'll go from there. So, as I said before, JT rolled the die, boom, evens came up. We get to go for set rotation. So, what do we mean when we say, in this case, and we're talking about set rotation for high-level OP?
Yeah, but nothing to casual level.
It's vault or higher.
Yep.
So, vault, national championships, world championships.
So, not store championships.
Not store championships, not even regionals when they show up.
They're
the invisible layer
that
I keep imputing onto the structure now.
Yep.
So maybe they'll be there in 25.
I hope so.
But set rotation won't apply to regionals. We're thinking about just high level, which is Vault Tour.
Vault Tour and above, or national tournaments.
Yep.
Or KFC, of course.
Yep. For the premier events at KFC.
Yeah.
All right. So set rotation. What do we mean by set rotation? We're just talking about a limited number of sets. So maybe it's the last five. Maybe it's the last four. Maybe it's selective, right? But what we want to do is talk about not having the full library of sets available to us for vaults and up. How do we want to start this?
So I think we would start just looking at the World Championship, a Coda deck won.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it shows to the awesomeness of all the different sets. Like, you know, you can bring anything, but that also gives a huge advantage to players that have been playing since the beginning, have the same decks, they know it in and out. So if we rotate sets, then it forces people to play with newer sets.
Yep, yep, I would agree.
I mean,
and it forces people to revisit the sets because, you know, they're using those crutches and maybe they're investigating the new sets a little bit, but they don't find anything that's just as good as this one over here. That's my, you know, the scar that I got was in fourth grade on my knee, right? There's no there was no better scar than this scar that I got in fourth grade, which is
also
my
known
deck.
As Dark Tidings.
Okay, all right.
Because it might actually get people to play
right?
Dark Tidings competitively because there could be some gems out there that were unexplored.
Right. So if you drop off, and we're again, we don't want to stay away from specifics here, but if you drop off, we're assuming set rotation is probably the older sets. You could do it so you're dropping off a lot of sets, but you could, my guess would be conservative first, then go big.
Yep.
So, all right.
Or maybe have a, you know, revised Coda deck or set that comes out.
Yep.
Like that fixes some of the overpowered cards in there and say, okay, we're doing revised Coda. We're doing revised AOR.
Yeah,
as a way to
a revisiting,
them.
Revisitation, yeah. Reimagining of. Okay.
Yeah, maybe, because like, now, because again, we've talked to this before when we play tested. It's like we had no idea what some of those combos were that we allowed.
Right.
Because like, I don't know. I mean, this is a new game. Let's see what happens. It's like, oh, some of that was a little OP. Oops.
Yeah. All right. So for the sake of imagery and conversation and kind of limiting it, let's say we're talking about set rotation of the last five sets are legal.
Okay.
Okay, so right now that would mean Grim Reminders, Winds of Exchange. When Grim Reminders is officially released.
But Grim Reminders isn't
technically the official release is March 1st.
But that'll be but that's going to be before the Vault Tour. So
yeah.
When Vault Tours start, so again, we're talking about premier events.
Mm-hmm.
It would be whatever set is released that season.
Yep,
so.
On that release date. So as of March 1st this year, it would be Grim Reminders, Winds of Exchange.
Dark Tidings.
Mass Mutation, and
is that
Worlds
AOA?
Collide.
Worlds Collide. That's oh gosh.
Worlds Collide. Okay.
So no AOA or
no AOA, Coda. No Coda, and or maybe we drop off Worlds Collide off that list too. But for the sake of conversation, let's imagine the last two or three sets, the oldest two or three sets are gone.
Sure.
Okay. So how would that impact general OP Vault Tours? Generally, right? Let's talk about big picture.
Right.
One of the things I think it would do is it would open up the space for legacy tournaments.
Ooh, yeah.
Right? So you have Vault Tours. Mm-hmm. You have Vault Tours that deal with the new, the now, the interesting, the most recent.
Mm-hmm.
And you have legacy tours alongside that.
Yeah.
Legacy events alongside that. Just like you have Sealed and you have Archon and you have Alliance. You have the next day or the Sunday is a legacy event where you get to play all those old decks in an Archon format.
Which would be fun. And my first thought, though, with those like older sets going away is Alliance being dramatically different because no Ginkka.
Yep. And so the impact on Alliance would be huge, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's like... building those different pods, like suddenly you have less pods to build from. I mean, the blessing is also no bad Brobnar from AOA.
AOA or Worlds Collide.
If we keep Worlds Collide, I mean, again, two or three, you can see it.
Yeah.
But then, and the premier level events, like we are playing with the newer, some houses better cards, some, you know, Star Alliance, like, is way awesome and Grim Reminders, but then you're not really being stuck with the baggage of older sets when things came out. It's like, you know, because even Saurian's gotten a little bit better over time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say really in Worlds Collide they were the best.
Yeah, they were weird in Worlds Collide. They had there was a lot of big creatures with minimal damage, right? There was a lot of 12 power creatures that came into play stunned or they did.
Yeah, they were very limited, but then we saw like Legionary Trainer shenanigans at Worlds as well.
And mm-hmm.
I mean, we might see a lot more of that instead of,
and with respect to Alliance, it would minimize or mitigate
the restricted list. Yep.
Because all of a sudden those cards are off, right? So
yeah.
Those cards would drop off the restricted list completely because there's no reason to include them. And you might have, so you might have different things come up. Maybe that's, and by shortening the list, you might be able to change the structure of the list, because a lot of the criticism that I've heard on various podcasts is that, why can't we build the restricted list a little bit differently, which is saying, hey, let's not put these two cards together. Mm-hmm. These two cards cannot appear in the same set. These two cards can appear with the other ones, but these two cannot appear together, right? Which would be the trainer and scholar.
Right. Well, right. And card combinations that do exist together, we get that, and Unchained or Menagerie, the casual stuff, that's where it belongs. Like, let's eliminate those old houses and older sets.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's the impact on OP generally. You open up the opportunity to have legacy tournaments. For Alliance, it could replace the need for a restricted list, or at least minimize the restricted list, which is a big deal. I think the impact is probably going to be the most on Archon. Mm-hmm. On Archon, the classic single deck, come from anywhere, a KFC, a Coda deck won it from a young man from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
So with each iteration of a set coming out, with each iteration of a set, the meta changes a little bit, right? For Woe, you needed to be able to control board.
Right.
You need to be able to have creature control, because Woe would just explode. And you didn't need one. You needed two or three or four ways. Yeah.
Especially
because
they might become tokens. It's like, you need backups.
Absolutely. And they can just come back like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that changed the meta there. By doing a set rotation, you're changing the meta even more every time. Because now you have to, again, investigate the tools that you have available to you. And people will go into their unopened stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Right? A lot of us, I mean, I still have three boxes up there completely unopened of Grim Reminders. One, because, one, it's not on TCO. Two, it's I want to play the games with the cards as much as possible, because these are all new and interesting interactions.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Tidings was, frankly, it was pretty easy. It was pretty straightforward. Oh, the Tide. Okay, fine. That's a mechanic I'm working with.
Right.
But it was kind of more basic Keyforge. This is an entirely new animal, as we've discussed before.
Yeah. Another.
So that meta will change. Like, as of March 1st, if mm-hmm. we were dropping Coda and AOA and or Worlds Collide off, and Grim Reminders gets released, holy moly, right? The wave, the cascading effect on the meta is greater.
And it could potentially open up the Archon tournaments to be more accessible, because you don't have to worry about these older decks that might be have really high SAS that you didn't have a chance to buy or play into, and newer players could be like, okay, I don't have to worry about,
mm-hmm.
okay, I mean, cards get reprinted. Like, we see them, it's like, wait, what's that card? Wait, that was in Age of Ascension? I don't remember this card, because it got reprinted, but it's like, yeah. We treat it kind of as new cards as well. And again, like for our newer players, that could be a reason to be like, okay, I don't have to worry about going against a card that isn't any newer sets. Like, it was only in that one set and I don't have to worry about it at all. Like, you know, I look at the card list like, what the hell is that? Well, I know the more, it helps also with that memory of, well, that's less cards to have to look out for.
That
would also help.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you have, by limiting it to the latest few
whatever that may be,
4, 5, 6, whatever, you're making it more accessible to new people.
Mm-hmm.
You are changing the meta dramatically, right?
Oh, for sure.
Which allows people to take advantage of, hey, this deck that didn't quite work a long time ago maybe works. And you're putting it on the players to find those things.
Yeah.
All of the things we're talking about, we're challenging, are going to be challenging for the player base.
Yes.
But that's what high-level OP
means.
That's
a healthy challenge, though, to give OP.
That's a healthy challenge. Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. And that can stimulate a lot of things downstream from there.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You get people learning and challenging themselves at a high level that will cascade down into the regionals, into whatever the regionals might be if they come. The store championships, maybe. Right.
And again, it could be like also by not having to, you know, go to the old reliable other sets, like, okay, let's try, you know, again, I'm going to could pick on Dark Tidings, but it's like there might be some hidden gem like combo cards there that just got completely overlooked. Someone brings that to a Vault Tour, wins. It's like, wait, what? I didn't even think about that. It's like, yeah.
But yeah, it would have to be.
But you never know.
No, there might be a deck out there that can win at that level. But
I mean, it's also true for all the sets. Like, there could be some decks out there that were just people have overlooked because oh, that's a bad card. That's a bad deck. But by having rotation, players are going to be more likely to try out older decks and older cards that have been sitting there.
Yep.
And move forward.
And then last but not least, the impact on sales.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if you have sold out,
if you have set rotation, you're going to have more sales.
Mm-hmm. It becomes more of a commodity.
Because then people are looking for the next big thing.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
And for the new players, the newer players who don't have access to the old big things, who and this is not only increasing sales, primary sales out of the stores, online shops, what have you, but also on the secondary market.
Oh, for sure.
Right? So that could positively impact the health of the game.
I mean, yeah, you got a ton of mass mutation decks just sitting there that could do you some love. Like, hey, I got plenty. You want to buy some? Like $5-$10? Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Clear out my desk.
All right. So do we have anything else to say in support of set rotation?
I think we've outlined some pretty good points to give those sloppy lab work people something to analyze to and cook up in their lab and see what they give us.
All right. So we've talked about how it impacts OP generally, you know, opening up some space for their legacy tournaments and other functions. Impact on Archon, moving the meta needle crazily, like however much the meta moves with any new release, it's going to be even further impacted.
Mm-hmm.
Alliance will definitely impact the restricted list or open up space for a restricted list to take a different form. And impact on sales, I could only see that going up.
Oh, for sure, so, I agree.
All right, so JT, quick draw. That's our argument. And we'll listen to what you have to say. I know that you all recorded yours on Wednesday. Yeah. So now I can go watch yours on Twitch now that I've recorded this. Lest you think I haven't recorded, Jason and I haven't recorded two episodes. No, I'm just kidding. It would be no fun if I broke the rules of the first try. So we're looking forward to hearing other podcasts and other creators join. One thing I did notice is JT Quickrod did invite a guest on to help them with their argument.
Oh.
So Murph, who has a YouTube channel, came in and helped them with their argument. I dropped in and I watched the first about 5 minutes of it, guys. I did just to make sure that I was, you know, we were kind of following the same format, and we are, which is great. Then I ducked out before they started their arguments. Calling in a ringer.
Wow.
That's you know. I don't know.
I think we got some pretty good arguments because it's the two of us. We didn't have to call somebody else in.
Well, now, Murph did chime in the discussion that he wanted to join in to the fray, so they took him on it. So I'm giving you all a hard time. I would be flabbergasted because as I said before, I don't know if I... here's the irony. I didn't like the fact that we were going to have to argue for set rotation. But then after we did, I think I actually convinced myself that it would be a good thing.
You know, the funny thing is, I'm on the same page. I was like, actually, these are all really great points. I just sold myself on it because before, I didn't even like, no, set rotation, terrible idea. Actually, because I really like this legacy tournament idea. I really do.
Yeah. You could, I mean, hell, the legacy tournaments could be sealed AOA. Sealed AOA boxes are still available for $20 on Amazon somewhere, right? So you could still like...
Get display boxes.
Hey, everybody, bring a display of AOA. We'll play some legacy AOA and give ourselves more than a day to do it.
Legacy sealed AOA with an entire display box. There we go.
Yeah, there you go. Wow. Yeah.
Because you might need a display box to get a decent deck.
Yeah, you're just looking for the Genka pod and then throwing together something else.
You're right.
Out of a box. Cool. One thing I wanted to, so that's basically our episode. One thing I wanted to do, one thing I wanted to mention that's been gotten my craw a little bit is I like the change that they made when they said you don't have to do 2 minutes. You don't only have 2 minutes to look at the list.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You can look at the list anytime. And I'm revisiting this because recently I read a book on memory, mm-hmm. how to improve memory, how to structure memory, how memory works, and all these other things. I'm a teacher. I'm a professor of adult education.
Right.
And so the neuroscience and the neuropsychology behind learning is why I read some of these things. It also happens to be that my mother has Alzheimer's. She's still there. She's still with us, but she's not quite, we can see the deterioration.
Yeah.
So I'm reading these books because I am frankly fearful that I'm going to get this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying my damnedest to do everything I can to not. So I'm engaging in some of these mental exercises and so on and so forth. One thing I did learn from this memory thing is that, and some of you may know this already, that there's a reason that phone numbers without the area code are basically 7 digits is because the human brain, untrained human brain, the vast majority of us have the capability to remember 7 to 10 things, right? And bring that up in memory actively. So if you give me a phone number has 7 numbers in it. If I know the area code, I can store the area code as a single digit and that only adds 1 to it. But that's why phone numbers are 7 digits typically, because we can remember that. And they're 7 digits or 8 digits or less worldwide.
Yeah.
Once you add the area code in or whatever the area code,
the country code.
Yeah, the country code might be, that gets a little bit onerous.
Yeah.
But for local phone calls, quote unquote local phone calls, that's why that is. And so how does that work in KeyForge? Well, what that means in KeyForge is that I don't have to remember 36 things, right? Because I can't. I can't actively remember that you have X, Y, and Z card, all 36 cards in your deck. But so seeing that list every periodically allows me to, have you played this one? Mm-hmm. I can remember whether you have artifact control, how much creature control you have.
Put it in categories.
Maybe important important artifacts, important creatures you have, right? You categorize it. So you then say, okay, I'm going to take, you have Censor Chief Garcia, you have Faust the Great, and you have the Mooklings, right? These are all key.
Adding
cost to keys. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. I remember those things.
Okay, you're going to tax my keys.
Classify those things.
Good to know.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And then you have other ones like Dusk Witch. Hey, I got to save some damage for Dusk Witch because she's going to be hard to get rid of sometimes. You know, so things like that.
Yeah.
And it's good that they're taking memory, and specifically memory of those 7, of those 36 cards out of the game, because it's just, you know, unless you're in the, like, what, 1.5 to 2.5% that has
photographic memory.
Mm-hmm. You're
Which
not
most of us don't
remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of
like
us don't.
It's a small part of the population, and then and most people that might have it probably aren't really into gaming because it's probably a lot easier for them and might get bored.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't, or maybe they do. I mean, maybe it could be fun, but I don't have that issue. I mean...
Yeah, we're not burdened with photographic memories, are we?
it's a cursed blessing, I'm sure. But we don't have that problem. It's like, no, give me a list. I know what those cards do, but I'm not going to remember what's in your deck.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what's in my deck most of the time.
Yeah. And I also say this, for one, was because there are ways to improve your memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taken those, and I've been engaging in them since reading this book about a month ago, and I think it's working. But one of the things you learn about memory is tricky. It degrades at basically the same rate. no matter what. But what you can improve is your working memory.
Okay.
Your memory of the moment.
Right.
Right. And so that's what I can do. And by increasing, by strengthening your memory of the moment, it cascades into what's called episodic memory or semantic memory, which then becomes semantic memory. And that's all I got, really.
Yeah, I don't think we really need to go much further than that in the podcast about keyboards.
All right, so no more memory talk about, you know, no more increasing.
Unless we're talking about Mehmet. There's okay. Some memories
all right.
there.
All right. Yeah. Very cool. All right, so be sure and listen to the Sloppy Lab work. Be sure and come back here. And you know what? We haven't talked about maybe putting up a survey, seeing after we get a chance to provide a rebuttal to Sloppy Lab work, and maybe they get a chance to provide a rebuttal to us, putting up a survey for our listeners to complete, saying,
I like that. Yeah.
You know, what side do we think?
Where do you all fall?
Yeah. Where do you all fall? And we might have to do that. So
that's a quick Google form for that.
Yeah. I'll have to remember to do that.
Good memory. If you'd like to join the discussion, have ideas for future episodes, feedback, or questions for us, you can contact us through our Discord or via email at thewarcast2023@gmail.com. Please leave a review. It helps others find the cast. Thanks for listening, and remember,
forge ahead!
Episode 24, Sloppy About Set Flop. Flop, flop. Episode 24, Sloppy About Sled Rotation. Sled Rotation?
Okay, so the first one was fine. Let's just stop there. The first one was fine.